Well, thanks very much for that wonderful retelling of the story of Jesus and of the first Easter morning, the first resurrection morning. It was just great to hear about that. And it's just such an amazing story, and one that sort of turned everybody's lives upside down. Like, this had never happened before. And all of a sudden, the whole world changed. And we're living in a time of historical significance right now, just like it was 2,000 years ago. But this isn't quite as impactful, I guess. But, you know, our world is changing. All that we know, all that we trust in is changing. People are going to be writing about COVID-19 in the years to come. And those who read it will sort of be searching for the truth and understanding what really happened during this outbreak, this pandemic. But the story this morning of 2,000 years ago is the most important moment in all of history. And Jesus died and rose again. He was dead, then he was alive. He conquered death. And it was a physical resurrection. He didn't just say, oh, you know, I'll come back in my spirit. He said, I'll come back, me, in person. And that's why we call him the Lord of life, because through his life, you can have real life also, because he conquered death. And, you know, we read a little bit from Paul this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that the belief that Jesus rose from the dead is, he says, of primary importance, of first importance. It's the key to understanding the whole Bible, the whole about what God is doing and about what our lives are all about. So all these things happened a long time ago. And it may be that you have trouble with this account of the life of Jesus. Maybe you have trouble thinking Jesus rose from the dead. Maybe you're wondering, is it accurate? And in our world, science versus religion, some say that any talk of miracles makes them back away from the story. You know that argument between science and religion is kind of a false one anyway. But if you're a little worried about miracles and things like that, maybe we need to think about this. Some people say that they believe the story, but they have difficulty in defending their belief. Others just say, Christianity, it's crazy. So what do you think? Is Christianity crazy? Well, maybe it is, because we live in a crazy kind of world, actually, in which our entire lives can be turned upside down in a very short period of time. And every one of us has a belief system. Every one of us believes in something. You might just say, well, I just believe in myself, and I'm all that I need to get through everything. You might believe, well, in Gaia or the financial system or science or something like that. We all believe in something. And the question is, do we have a really good reason to believe what we believe? Have we really thought it through? And I think that the evidence is really strong, very strong, for us to believe that Jesus Christ is risen today. So will you give me a moment to just show you some of the evidence for believing? And the problem is, when you ask people to just listen to you for a minute, sometimes we don't listen with an open mind. We just sort of listen defensively to say, okay, as soon as I hear the one thing that bugs me, I can discount everything. But would you listen, listen this once, just to really hear this again? You know, there was a story on the news on Friday that the Secret Service in Canada, CSIS, knew something about the strong possibility of a pandemic coming from China as early as January. And in the United States, the Secret Service there knew about it last November. And they went and talked to different people in government, but people didn't listen because they weren't really ready to hear what they had to say. They didn't believe that it was possible. And then, of course, later they all had to turn around and say, yeah, okay, we believe what this message was all about. So maybe it's the same with this message about Jesus, that we need to just be in the right mind space to hear it. Christianity is a religion that's grounded in historical accuracy. And in universities all over the world, you know, scholars approach the Bible as a collection of documents written in Greek by those who lived a long time ago. And they were telling these stories about Jesus of Nazareth. So these scholarly kind of people don't read the Bible as though it's a, you know, divine inspiration. They read it as an old document. And they find that as they examine it, they find historically it is really accurate. So you might be surprised to learn that when historians approach these documents, the accuracy is quite astounding. So Paul wrote this letter to all the people who lived in Corinth, a city of the time, and he talks about who Jesus was and what his life was all about. And Paul had been this guy who used to go around persecuting Christians. Like, he literally went around killing Christians or having them locked up in jail. And he got a warrant so that he could go and arrest Christians for practicing their faith. Well, about 2 years into this persecution of Christians, Paul had this experience while he was going along the road to Damascus. And through this experience, he became absolutely convinced that Jesus was alive and that he had seen this man who was crucified and had died and was alive again. And so this changed Paul's whole life completely, because all of a sudden he believed in what people were talking about, that this Jesus was alive still. And Paul wrote this to the people in Corinth. He said, "What I learned, I passed on to you as of number one importance, the most important thing." And here's what he said was the most important: that Christ died, that he was buried, and that he was raised to life on the third day. And it wasn't just limited to that. Many people saw him alive again after he was crucified. First he appeared to Peter, and then to the rest of the 12 disciples, apostles. And then he appeared to more than 500 people, brothers and sisters, all at the same time. And he says, most of those folks are still alive. And then he says, well, lastly, he appeared to James, the brother of Jesus. And Jesus' brother James didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah while Jesus was alive. But later he did come to believe that. And then, of course, last of all, he appeared to Paul. So what about this letter? You might think this is just another dusty document. What does it matter to me today? Well, scholars, not Christian scholars, but scholars agree that this is a pretty historic document, that it's accurate. They almost all agree that it was written about 55 AD, 55 years after the birth of Jesus. Jesus died when he was in his early 30s. So this is about 20 years after Jesus died. And in terms of historical writing, that's a really short period of time. So it's likely that this is good material, that you can look at it and find out it's going to be true. But this account, this evidence, is actually earlier than that, because there's a lot of consensus among people that this was a bit of writing that Paul did that was based on an early creed that was said by Christians in the very first couple of years after Jesus died. And Peter's name in Aramaic is Cephas or Cephas. And that's one reason that they think this was an earlier document, because they think it was originally written in Aramaic. And in the first line, he says, "What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance." That's like a formula that rabbinic scholars would have used in the day if they were going to tell something really important that needed to be believed. So the evidence strongly points to the idea that this creed predates Paul's letter. So how much earlier? It's likely no more than 3 years after Paul became a follower of Jesus. And we get that idea from another thing that Paul had written, because he wrote a letter to the Galatians, and he said, "Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas," or Peter, "and I stayed with him 15 days. And Tom Wright, who's a pretty popular Christian author, says, you know, it's highly unlikely that they were just talking about the weather when they got together or the local food customs. It was probably the most important part of their conversation. They spoke about they spoke about the things that Peter was trying to teach Paul, how Jesus died and he rose again. And the Greek word that Paul uses when he says he wanted to get acquainted with Cephas is historici, which is the word that we get our English word history from. And it literally means to gain a historical account. So Paul was literally getting a history lesson from Cephas. And Paul's understanding of Jesus' death and resurrection came very soon after Jesus' actual death. So here's what all that means to us today and why it matters. The consensus is that not just among Christian scholars, but among lots who are very critical of Christianity, that when this writing speaks of Jesus dying and then coming back to life, it's historically accurate. And that Paul had written it when lots of those witnesses were still alive. And so you can't write a letter like that if you think people might go and check up on you, unless you're telling the truth. So here's what Gord Lutermann, who's a very skeptical New Testament scholar, says. He says, we assume that all the elements in the tradition are to be dated to the first 2 years after the crucifixion, not later than 3 years after Jesus' death. And he goes on to say, you need to take this seriously, historically, because it's certain that Peter and the disciples had experiences after Jesus' death in which Jesus appeared to them as the risen Christ. Now, Gord Lutermann himself doesn't believe in the resurrection, but he's studied the evidence and he thinks it must be true that Jesus did appear, or they thought he was appearing somehow after he died. Another guy, Michael Golder, who's really critical of Christianity, and at one time he was the president of the Birmingham Humanist Society, writes, Paul's testimony about the resurrection appearances goes back to at least what Paul taught when he was converted and after a couple of years after the crucifixion. Robert Funk, he's another guy who's not too keen on what the Bible has to say, but he's convinced too that this document is accurate, that people were seeing Jesus after he died, alive again. So the critical scholars say that there was a widespread and deep conviction in Jerusalem and beyond that Jesus died this horrible death on the cross, was buried, rose again from the dead. Today, sometimes we have trouble thinking that this could be true. So we have to think, and I wonder what you think. What accounts for this? What things could have happened to convince early followers of Jesus that he truly was the Messiah, the Son of God? What happened to change the disciples? Because they were dramatically changed. You know, the disciples were there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and when Jesus was arrested, most of them deserted him. Peter hung around a little bit, but he denied Jesus three times. And the whole movement seemed to have fallen apart because of Jesus' death on the cross. Their leader was dead. The movement was over. They were wrong to follow him. I think that's what they were thinking. Dead men don't change the world. So we were all mistaken about who this Jesus was. So what happened? Something happened of significance. And all of a sudden, the disciples start to see Jesus as divine. And they start to change their whole way of living and acting and thinking. And they're afraid that unless they tell the truth, they'll be not living out the truth. So listen to these words of how some of the early Christians responded if they were asked about if they were Christians. Pliny the Younger was a governor around that time, and he said this, he wrote this down. He said, I ask people if they're Christians, and if they admit it, I repeat the question a second time and a third with a warning about the punishment that awaits them. If they persist, I order them to be led away for execution. So those early Christians didn't deny that Jesus was alive again. They were, in fact, willing to die for what they believed. All they had to do is say in words, okay, Pliny, I deny this story about Jesus, and he would have let them off. They could go home and be secret followers of Jesus, but they couldn't do that, because they knew it was important that they told the truth. So something happened between the time when Jesus died, which caused the end of the movement, and a few days later when Christianity erupted on the scene. This powerful movement changed the whole world. So how do you explain it? Whether you're a Christian or not, we have strong evidence to say this is what happened. So what accounts for that? The conviction of Christians is that everything changed with the resurrection of Jesus. So if that's not your answer in all of this, then what is? Not believing in the resurrection doesn't fill a huge gap that remains between Jesus dying on the cross and what happened after that. Not believing in the resurrection won't fill the gap between what should have been the end of Christian faith, and it actually became the beginning of this movement, worldwide movement of Jesus, the Son of God, risen from the dead. Criticism without an alternative so is empty. So you can't just say, well, I don't believe it. If you don't believe it, then how do you explain it? Tell me what you think. People used to think, you know, that there was a gap between the actual events occurring and then the idea of people saying Jesus was risen. And they thought, well, it was a couple of hundred years, so they could have made up all kinds of things during that time. But the evidence that we've just spoken about this morning shows that actually there was no time for the development of a legend to have occurred, that it was what was believed right at the beginning, that Jesus was a hero before he died on the cross, but that was ruled out by his death as a common criminal on the cross. And then 3 days later, people started talking about him being raised from the dead. This was all in the first few days of the resurrection. Today, no one in the scholarly community takes seriously the idea that a legend grew up around Jesus' life because it was too immediate. Or some say it was a mass hallucination. One scholar did a survey to look at the idea of, do mass hallucinations happen? And he couldn't find any account of them in his reading from what happened thousands of years ago or even more recently. And there were too many places and too many appearances with too many diverse groups for it to be a mass hallucination. People who were followers of Jesus, people who were not, people who were enemies of Jesus, people who were friends with him, they all saw him alive. So could it just be a hoax, a lie? Well, most of the people, or a lot of the people who became followers of Jesus at the beginning, they faced the death penalty for what they believed. And people aren't usually willing to die for a myth or something that they've made up, a hoax, unless there's something really important that they can gain. Maybe they gain riches or something like that, but that's not what happened here. So after you get past all these ideas of the historical development of a legend or mass hallucination or a hoax, there really is only one answer available, that a miracle happened, that Jesus did rise from the dead. The Bible doesn't say the smartest people in the world will find God. It says those who seek him with their whole heart will find him. And it's so true that criticism without alternative is hollow. If the resurrection isn't true, what's the plausible alternative? You could say, I just don't think it could happen, but that won't do as a plausible explanation. Just as those leaders of Canada and the United States didn't have a probable argument against the spread of the worldwide pandemic, didn't have a plausible alternative to the facts they were hearing, so just because it didn't fit within what they thought was probable, they didn't begin a plan against the pandemic. They wouldn't listen to the truth. Christianity erupted from nowhere. If you take the resurrection out of the picture, what do you put in its place? What accounts for the greatest movement in all of the history of the world? Richard Swinburne is one of the most influential religious thinkers of the past 60 years. He held the chair of philosophy of religion at the University of Oxford. He's highly regarded in the worldwide scene of people who talk about these things. In 2003, he published a book called The Resurrection of God Incarnate, on which he based the evidence available today on the resurrection. And he said that the resurrection of Jesus is 97% likely to be true, that Jesus actually physically rose from the dead. He's a guy who works with probability theory, so he's not taking this number as the absolute defining number, but he's just saying the evidence is so overwhelming. Maybe you thought you'd like to believe in Jesus, in his death and resurrection and divinity, but you thought you couldn't, because it wasn't intellectually reasonable. But I want you to know that it is. Or maybe it was a matter of your heart. you know, it's not just knowing about Jesus intellectually, that he's the Son of God, the Lord of life, that he rose from the dead, that's important. But we also want to know if we can trust him. We need to know that the one that we follow cares about us, that they're worth following. And if you think then that there was Jesus, he'd been totally treated unjustly, he'd been beaten, he'd been spit upon, he'd been whipped, he'd been cursed, he'd been falsely accused, been made to carry his own instrument of torture, he had a terrible spikes driven through his hands and his feet, he'd been shamed, he'd been pushed to the limit. And then what's he like at the end of all of that? He says, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing." He didn't hate, he loved. He didn't seek revenge, he sought peace and forgiveness. Jesus forgave even then we can be sure that he will forgive anything that we do today because he loves us. And at the end, the account of the crucifixion, Mark tells us that when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." And then those who saw him after the resurrection knew it. It was just confirmed in their hearts and minds. And it can be confirmed in your heart and in your mind today. Jesus Christ is risen today. Let's just take a moment and pray. Lord God, we give you praise and thanks for the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. We praise you and thank you that his love is so powerful that it changed the whole world. We praise you and thank you that he's alive today and is alive to us today. Help us to put all our trust in you. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.